Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, where we are still buzzing off the end of this game tonight. We watched the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come from behind the final minute and a half. Hey, Tom Brady gets the football with 90 seconds left. He does Tom Brady things. And the Buccaneers beat the Cowboys 31-29. Ryan Suk up with the game-winning field goal after a very fortuitous not offensive pass interference call. That Chris Godwin catches a pass, pushes off the DB. It's a 20-yard gain that puts the Buccaneers in easy field goal range, and they go on to win this game. Now, let me just say this before we get to the big hot, what you think is a hot take but isn't. Yes, that was a bad call.
And I don't know. Go back and watch it.
You saw the extended arm out, and you saw both arms extended out. The defensive back fell down. That was a really difficult call. But let's just say they call it, right? Let's just say they call it. It was a huge break they got. Let's just say they call it. And this is why it's not that big a deal to me. Let's just say they call that. All right, so now the Bucs are back at midfield, second down and 10, with 40 seconds left. You really think Tom Brady's not getting in field goal range? You really think he's not? They were in field goal range in such a big way so early. He threw three passes out of bounds to kill the clock. Right? And I don't mean like no, he had to, because they couldn't risk running a play and not being able to run up and spike the football. Yep. So they had to run three plays of just throwing the football out of bounds. Do you really think Tom Brady, who has done that so many bleeping times, wasn't going to get the Bucs in field goal range? And I mean in easy field goal range, where it's going to be a 30-yarder like it was to win the game. That was going to happen. This wasn't going to end any other way than Brady getting the Bucs down for a game-winning score, and they win the game 31-29. So while I disagree with the non-call there, in the end it wasn't going to matter. They would have still gotten down there and scored.
Well, I'll put on my Mike Pereira hat and say that you also had a lot of clutching and grabbing going on from the defender. So the referee just said, in this time and circumstance, I'm not throwing a flag here. I'm not getting in the middle of this. This is just good arm fighting by two great competitors. And Godwin got the win. And so did Tom Brady.
Okay.
I don't know. You had a couple of Cowboys propagandists on last hour, so I got to combat that somehow. Trying to bring balance to the force here on Fox Sports Radio.
I'll tell you what. Look, it was a great night, and for a second, let's just understand how phenomenal a game this was.
Yeah.
This was everything you could have wanted, right? I told you, the Cowboys could win this game. Oh, you're crazy. You're not going to win this game. You're not going to do it. How are they going to do it? I said, just come out and throw the football. Right, you can see it's on Twitter. I said it. I said it on the show last night. Tweeted it out. I was there. Don't come out and hand the football to Ezekiel Elliott. Don't try to, you know, let Dak Prescott ease his way back in like he's trying to get into a really cold pool at your neighbor's house. Going, oh boy, the water's cold. Going to go in up to my ankles.
Wait, is that what you do at your neighbor's pool? You just
no,
kind of show
saying.
Up and
oh no, I like to jump in. Like let's get it all out of the way early. I'll just jump out. But let's not try to do it. So I'm going to go in up to my knees, then up to my middle of my thighs, and I'm going to get in up to my groin. No. I just jump right in. Do that.
You just dropped a groin.
I just said groin.
You even said groin. That's a difficult word for a lot of people to say.
Groin's
they get very
good.
Self-conscious about it.
Rhymes with loin. Rhymes with LeMoyne, who you know won the lacrosse division 2.
Really well done.
Look. Go out and throw the football. Let's see Dak Prescott. You're paying him that money. This is how you're going to stay with the Buccaneers because it's opening week. Things are crazy. Things happen. The Buccaneers aren't going to be playing as good defensively week 1 as they will be later on in the season. And who knows? They were supposed to have a good defense, but maybe it's not as great. We don't know until we play the game. And you know what? The Cowboys did it. And they would have done it if Greg Zuerlein had had an average night. And that
but you don't know that.
Making an extra point and making a field goal. Yeah, the game
would have changed the game, though.
The game would have come down differently at the end. But if you don't give the ball back to Tom Brady, then maybe he doesn't go down and score. And the Cowboys would have been protecting a lead, trying to get first downs, rather than, hey, let's get down the field and we have to push the football and we can't milk the clock down and score and take the lead. When you're protecting a lead, it would have gone. It might have gone differently. And I would have, the way the Cowboys moving the football on that Tampa Bay defense, yeah, I'd have taken the Cowboys to close that game out the way it was going. But when you're coming back from behind, you have to score. You give the football back. That's how it's going to go.
Well, you win the turnover battle decisively, time of possession decisively. The Buccaneers had over 100 yards. Let me get this right. 106 yards of penalties, 11 called. Gave up 451 yards. Talked about the injuries in the secondary. 9 minutes time of possession difference, which is actually much closer than it was for a good chunk of the game, right? When we got into the beginning of the fourth quarter, it was decidedly Cowboys. So the Bucs control a bit of that fourth quarter. But you add it all up. Those are all the stats and data points that people want to point out and say that's how you win, right? Turnovers is 75, 80% thereabouts. Normally you lose the turnover battle that you're losing the game. Well, not today. Not today. Again, I'm curious, you know, coming back, the additions to that Tampa defense a year ago, guys got valuable experience into the playoffs and Super Bowl. And then today you lose a couple of those guys right off the jump, and we'll see how long they're out, right? Hamstring for one, and the other still waiting on a full determination. But, you know, that depletes you. Just like we talk about the Ravens going to the scrap heap for running backs, that one we normally can stipulate, hey, you know what? We get if our line's good enough, we're going to be able to still run the football. When it comes to covering downfield in today's NFL, yeah, I don't want cornerbacks 3, 4, 5, and 6 out there and guys signed off the scrap heap. That's a recipe for disaster. So it can get kind of easy.
Now, let me tell you this, because this is where you think this is going to be a hot take, but it's not. I know Cowboys fans, and look, many NFL fans are going to go, Jason, you're crazy. Ezekiel Elliott is not going to matter in this offense very quickly. Very quickly. And for the next couple of years, Cowboys fans are going to go, why are we paying him all this money? All right. First of all, it's diminishing returns from him. All right, this is now, you know, he didn't look great tonight, didn't get the football a ton, but more so than that, yeah, paying him was so 2.5 years ago, all right? Dak Prescott's the guy.
Oh, you're going it's sunk his
team
cost.
Now. It's his team. They didn't give Dak $40 million a year to say, here, Zeke, take the football. No, they didn't do that. They gave it to him so he could win and put up offense and performances like he did tonight. Ezekiel Elliott is not going to matter. He's going to have more games of 9 carries for 33 yards than he's going to have 20 carries for 100 yards. Just not going to happen because he's not going to get that opportunity because this is how the Cowboys move the football. They don't move it by giving the ball to Ezekiel Elliott. They move it by your $40 million quarterback, giving it to your $100 million receiver who had a big night in Amari Cooper and your big first round draft pick in CeeDee Lamb. And oh, by the way, Michael Gallup, who would be a number one receiver on half the teams in the NFL. This is how the Cowboys offense is going to go. Dak Prescott even said after the game, we played complimentary football better than we have during my time ever of how the offense and defense work together. Now, I kind of disagree with that because the defense still got lit up for a lot of points.
Yes,
but
did.
Here's Dak saying, hey, the offense, we were great tonight. Where's your statement about, oh, we got to get Zeke more involved? We got to do that. Ezekiel Elliott is not going to matter. And he's going to be the most expensive, and I don't want to say liability, but because he's still someone that can pick up the blitz, and he's still someone you're going to give the football to in short yardage situations. But what you are paying him from what you could get from Tony Pollard and a bunch of guys, Cowboys fans are going to see this ahead, and they're going to go, why are we doing this? And they're going to look and go, we can't get out of his contract for the 2 years because he's $30 million dead cap. Why are we doing that? Why did we pay him all that money? And then you come back to the conversation we've had for the past few years, why you never pay running. Sorry, because I feel bad, but running backs had their day to get paid. And you just happen to play a position that the NFL sees right now as, all right, we don't need to sink a lot of money in the guy, especially if we do that and he gets hurt. Look where we're going to go. What are we going to do? You know, a couple of years ago when Ezekiel Elliott had them He had him. Oh, you got to pay me because I've been so good. Look how young I am. If you don't pay me, watch what happens. And Dallas failed to see how their offense was going to evolve, how the NFL was evolving, because you were still in your zero running back strategy situation 2 years ago. No, but we got to pay him because Jerry Jones drafted him, and he's got to pay the guys that he drafted. We got to give him all that money. And now you gave a running back money that is just going to sink you, because you could get whatever you need out of Tony Pollard or whoever else you want to put out there in the backfield. You can get that because you got that last year. And now that you have your quarterback back and you got three really good receivers, this is how the offense is going to evolve. And you paid a guy that's now going to sit there and collect money every week, and you're going to go, he's not special. He's not. And Dallas Cowboy fans are going to resent Ezekiel Elliott. They're going to be mad at the team. They're going to say, let's give the ball to Zeke more. Then there's going to be times where they give him the ball, but it's, why are we doing that? Why aren't we throwing the football? All that money could have gone other places to bring bigger weapons in or pay more and pay better players to come in and play defense. You paid a position that you don't have to pay in the National Football League, and the Cowboys are paying for it. At least in 2 years, you got an out for it, but boy, that's 2 years of just watching a sunk cost in Ezekiel Elliott. He's not going to matter to this offense, and you're going to see it over the course of this season.
To be fair, they have spent an awful lot of money badly on defensive players the last couple of
years. So, their track record,
you know,
don't
try to say they were complete slouches in terms and derelict in giving out money to that side of the ball. No, they did. And they did so badly. With Ezekiel Elliott, the thing I'm curious about, and Elliott Harrison, when he joined us in one of his many voices earlier, he brought up a point that I'd like to echo here, and something, you know, as we watch the game. That I brought up is, like, you don't have your normal offensive line, and you're going up against what was the best run defense in the game last year, and a quarterback that, let's face it, no matter how much they saw him scramble around in practice, once it gets to a game situation, is it necessarily going to be 1-to-1? So for Dak, running him out of the shotgun, and then we saw pretty early on, right, acquitted himself quite well that ankle was healed. And sure as hell has a 97-pound bag of ice on that arm right now. But I thought back, and you're fully past the stingers from Lyle Collins, who played tonight, and you get that offensive line in cohesion, that maybe there's more of a balance. Because the other thing you want to do, I mean, and they did it tonight with some pretty good long protracted drives throwing the ball, short intermediate routes. And Yak looked a lot of what Pittsburgh did a year ago with Ben Roethlisberger, right? Take an occasional shot downfield, but otherwise it's throw a guy open in space. Again, like, well, New England and Tom Brady, and like Tom Brady does now, where I could hear you complaining all night long, how is Gronkowski by himself?
Dude, that
he's
is one
6'7", man.
Dude, that is one of the great mysteries of football that I will never understand. Look, he had a couple of big catches on that final drive. I will never understand how this is a guy who is a Hall of Fame tight end, who's going to be mentioned with guys like Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez, his best all time. And this much into his career, he's catching passes where there isn't a defender 5 yards from him. How does that happen? I mean, really, I've seen what he does his whole career. He comes off the line of scrimmage, he kind of rubs on the linebacker, and he goes the other way, and he catches a pass in space. I get it. But at some point, you have a guy on him. At some point, you have, you know, we got to have a guy on Gronkowski here. Now, yes, you have lots of weapons to get. You have to stop people to get the football here in this offense because you got some wide receivers that are really good. But, I mean, you know that when chips are down, Brady's going to Gronkowski. You know he is. And still, he's wide. How is he wide open? How is I still, this one, a decade into his career, as good as he is, how is he wide open?
Yeah, I just understand. Felt bad for DeMarcus Lawrence on the one call. They blitzed everybody, and it's like, all right, you scrape across the middle with him. He got two steps, and it looked like, no, this ain't happening. And then he walked into the end zone.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Hey, mark my words. Ezekiel Elliott, this is going to get ugly, and he's going to be someone who is not needed in the offense. I'm telling you, this is how the Cowboys' offense is evolving. It's all Dak all the time, and that's how it's going to be pushed. That's what Jerry Jones is going to want, and there's no way out for the next 2 years of Ezekiel Elliott's contract. You could get a lot from somebody else, anybody else, that doesn't have the name Ezekiel Elliott, that you're not paying all that money to. $30 million in dead cap money. Good luck.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike.
You let me finish my statement or not?
Bucks 31, Cowboys 29. We told you everything Cowboys in the last few minutes. Dak Prescott is on his way to winning MVP. I told you it was going to happen. I told you. And now I'm going to watch the storyline just take off. It's out of my control. It's like I'm Scarlet Witch and I loosed a power. I'm going, oh my God, I got no control of this over again. That's how it's going to go. I've loosed it on the world and now there's nothing I can do.
Sorry, yeah, Mike. Here's the problem is that this, as soon as the Cowboys are involved, it's going to go one way or the other. Because, right, if this had gone south, it would have been the worst thing in the world. They shouldn't have paid him. He's a fraud, et cetera, et cetera. But now the hype machine goes. The hype machine starts to roll on, and it is, as Thanos would say, inevitable. And it's been 2.5 hours, and I've already had, I can't even say the term I'd like to, I've had it.
Already. I'm done. No, I'm just telling you how it's going to go,
no,
buddy.
But the point is, it's game one of 272. There's a lot of other performances to go. And yes, he's got a great story. Look at this. It's certainly there. And Jerry will stump for him. And he's got plenty of folks in the media that will sell his tale of woe wherever they can in terms of the comeback from injury and everything else. And I'm not denigrating it. I'm just saying that it'll be hype to a whole other level by the time this is done. And we talked about it with Jay Glazer a little bit earlier. I have no doubt it was a gnarly, horrific injury. The fact that he moved as well was a shock to me. Lead lap popping in because we're going to do our week one full-on preview for the I Want Your Flex podcast and ask me what I thought. And I'm like, I don't know how to evaluate him this week. Yeah, back end number one. But for the season long as you're drafting, he went really high in some of the leagues and others. He just started to bought what was being sold, that he was going to be fine and ready to go and still drafted him as a top flight quarterback. Then at least for 1 week, you've got a W. We'll see how it plays out over 17. Hopefully you're in the winner's circle. And Jason, you get to laud yourself and maybe throw your shoulder out of whack with your MVP talk. I just remind you that piling up losses, unless you're Andre Dawson in the 87 Cubs and Jerry West all those years ago, generally doesn't win you an MVP.
The other part about Ezekiel Elliott, which, look, he's going to be fastly not needed in that offense, and that contract's going to be an albatross. Now, what about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The defending champs win 31-29. And yeah, do they look as great as they did last year? Well, better. Some parts didn't. What did Tom Brady have to say following the victory? He met the media a couple minutes ago. And here's a little bit from Tom Brady following his big four-touchdown performance.
F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah! Oh, wow.
That's how you come out of the gate strong.
Wow. Well, I don't think Kenny can have to worry about anybody monitoring his tweets anymore. So that's good.
Okay.
All right. So,
I'm sure somebody is.
No, not anymore. He's not at ESPN anymore.
Doesn't matter, but I'm sure somebody is monitoring him. Whether they have any clout on him is a whole other thing.
Oh, that's true. Yes, that's true. All right. So let's hear a little bit from Tom Brady following the game tonight.
For you personally, how much different do you feel? How much more comfortable are you today versus week one?
Last year sucked after the first game. Let me say that. That was come a long way from 365 days ago. That was a pretty lonely feeling after the game there in the Superdome. But, you know, again, we won. It's great. But, you know, we know that it was a far from perfect, and we got to get back to work and clean a lot of stuff up. And, you know, he's going to have a – you know, he's had a great camp. I knew he was going to have a great game tonight. And be prepared. He, you know, obviously went to him there on the two-minute drive. He had a huge catch and run. He's just a great player, just a great attitude, great teammate. I think everybody in the locker room just loves that guy, watching him, being with him. And on and off the field, he's just an amazing guy. So everyone loves seeing guys like that successful. And I'm just happy that he's loving what he's doing and contributing to the team the way that he is. And it was really fun to see tonight.
Hey, Tom, on that second touchdown to Rob where he released and then went over, was that improvised? Was that the design?
No, that was not the design. So there was a lot of things that were off on that play. But one of a few where we just quite didn't execute things the way that we were hoping. And, you know, I'm glad we made the play. But, again, it's you can't live on those. And I think, you know, the margin of error is thin in the NFL. And, you know, one or two plays, it's always – that's the way the game goes. And fortunately, we found a way to win. And I'm really happy Ryan and the field goal team made that really clutch kick there at the end. That was great to see. Special teams was just awesome tonight. But as a team, you know, we all know we got to get back to work and you know, try to improve.
Man, he just flipped off Greg Zuerlein just like that. Our special team was great. Oh, look at me. How you like me now? I wanted to know what that music was that was behind him, because that was
Well, that may be what's going on. It could be look, Brady's 44. It could be a 70s disco party.
Why you got to be 44? I mean, the kids love the disco, too. I mean, didn't you see the response to the ABBA Voyage project? I mean, come on!
Did you really just say the kids love the disco? Did you really just say that?
Just like they like the weed. They like the disco.
I watched The Dances with the Wolves, and what a great movie it was. So here's the thing. You heard him talking about his teammates, Tom Brady, and this is something that you have to get ready for. Antonio Brown's going to catch 100 passes this year for the Bucs. All right, now, we started out great tonight, and when you saw the Cowboys start to roll coverages toward him, that's when he found Chris Godwin. He started to find Gronkowski at the end. There's only going to be room for a certain number of big years for Tampa Bay wideouts. And look, Gronk had the couple of touchdowns. It's not going to happen for him every week. It looks like it's there for Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin. Look, Godwin, we know he's been able to establish himself, but Antonio Brown, it's... That's all that matters. Brady wanted him in New England. They signed him. They cut him. What happened after that? Brady still wanted him. Bruce Arians said, we're not going to bring a guy like Antonio Brown into our locker room. Tom Brady said, hang on. Blah, 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 me, blah, 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 quarterback, blah, 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 Super Bowls. And Bruce Arians said, hey, guess what? We're bringing in Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown stays with Tom Brady in his house. And once he got caught up to speed enough last year, the last half of the year was pretty good for Antonio Brown. Now, it wasn't breakthrough, wasn't incredible, but he still had some big weeks. And you can tell if you parse that out over the course of a whole season, Antonio Brown had a pretty good year numbers-wise. But now he's a year past that. He's back into the offense now. Brady clearly has a preference for him. And tonight he had a huge night. 5 catches, over 120 yards, and the big long touchdown. He's going to catch 100 passes. It's going to be that kind of year for him. This is still just week one, and you know that's where Brady's going to go with the football. And now, look, which is, if you own Mike Evans in fantasy, I'm sorry about that, because that's not going to end well for you this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of rise and fall. You want to talk about taking a roller coaster ride with a player? That's it right there.
Yeah, that's going to be your deadline trade. Hey, we'll trade. We'll get a defensive player for Mike Evans at the deadline. Why not? But clearly, Brady has a preference for him. And like I said, sometimes that's all that matters. What Tom Brady wants, Tom Brady's going to get. And that's really all you need to know about how this offense is going to go forward. They're not going to run the football. They're not going to give the ball to Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. It's
especially
not going to happen.
They're not going to hold on to the damn ball.
No, it's not going to happen. This is a different era in the NFL, and this is one of those times when you see not quite a sea change in the NFL, but you realize and you can visualize how this year is going to go. We're playing 17 games. The running back position has been devalued, and you are seeing an opening game in which both teams threw the football up and down the field for nearly 400 yards out of each quarterback. This is how it's going to be in the NFL now. You've got young in the game who are going to throw it. They're not going to hand off. They're not going to be, you know, there'll be a few teams that say, hey, we're going to win with a balanced offense, and you can still win that way. The Browns will win that way, but still, when they need it, Baker Mayfield's going to throw for 350 yards in a game. That's how it goes. We are at the time now where you are going to see passing and receiving records fall so easily just because of the sheer number of times every team is throwing the football. Because what happens when one team throws the football a bunch in the game and they have success at it, guess what? The other team ain't running the football. That balanced offense is going out the window when guys are going to throw, and it's going to be after a couple of years of trying with a balanced offense, we're going to something else. You really think the Ravens after this year are going to go back to a balanced offense and say we need guys that can run the football? Or are they going to say, blank this, let's go get two really good wide receivers for Lamar Jackson? We're not going to go through losing two star running backs and a third backup before the season begins. It's not going to happen. You are going to see so many teams throw the football. These 50 attempt games in the NFL are going to start to become more and more normal, right? 40 is a lot of passes to throw in a game, but you're going to see teams throwing the ball 50 times a game, and it's not even going to seem weird. It's going to be like, well, yeah, they had to throw it 50 times. It's not even going to seem weird. You're going to see the running back, the carries by running backs go down from 20, 21 to 15. Maybe you're going to see big-time running backs on teams leading the teams with 12 carries a week. That's kind of setting it off. Dallas isn't going to run Ezekiel Elliott. The Bucs aren't going to give the ball to either of their running backs. This is how it's going to go.
Well, we've certainly talked about it for a while, right? The devolution of the running back position, where we have very few that are bell cows, right? We had less than three or four guys last year that averaged more than 18 touches a game. That's rushing attempts plus receptions. I mean, that's where we're at. Secondary, tertiary guys. And we see more and more teams that go to what Brady had done for two decades. We saw it with Drew Brees in New Orleans. And we saw it with Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh and plenty of other examples. But use those three right now of let's throw a guy open. Let's scheme it open. We got plenty of weapons. Have your quarterback be efficient in his reads and distribution. Find the guy in stride, right? So many that we saw. And it becomes an extension of the running game, right? As completion percentages continue to rise and the efficiency is there, yeah, you don't necessarily need to run as you would traditionally, because now you're setting up a pass that does the same thing without the risk of the incompletion. Step one, step two, quick throw, the flanker screen, right? They ran a great screen to Chris Godwin that should have gotten them down to the 2-yard line, except he forgot to hang on to the ball. So, you know, you have all of those things that add up in a game. So guys like Ezekiel Elliott, yeah, there's still going to be a place for him in some offenses. Baltimore is always curious because that has been their identity for so long, and now they've signed all these other guys. Latavius Murray is the guy of the three that I think I'd want. Most recent success of those veterans that they signed. But the curiosity is how the next phase is and whether Ezekiel Elliott is a 10-touch 15 touch when you start adding in receptions, how much of this was the matchup, how much of this is by design going forward. A lot of anxious fantasy owners, but you got a little bit of relief and exhale by watching Dak Prescott do what he did tonight. And I think football's all the better for it. And I can't wait to see the viewing numbers.
Oh my God, it's going to be insane. You're talking about a game coming in that involved Tom Brady. Okay, very big deal. The Dallas Cowboys, even bigger deal. The defending champions, and a game that saw a lot of offense and came down to the final seconds in a field goal attempt. This is me kind of being a little prisoner of the moment, but this is going to wind up being the highest rated opening game in the NFL maybe in the last 15 years.
You're probably right.
Last 15 years,
crowds,
highest rated opening game in the NFL.
And back in and
yep.
Everybody fired up for this matchup, the curiosity of the Cowboys. I mean, Hard Knocks sold you, didn't it? This guy plays chess. Shout out Micah Parsons. This guy doesn't know how to wrap a present. And what is Dak Prescott? I mean, those are your three storylines. And Jerry Jones, of course.
Twitter and How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Yeah, you hit it right on the head right there.
There
buddy.
You go. Hey, buddy, can I give you the one quote from the other man of the hour?
Quote. Yeah, give me the big quote right there. Go ahead.
Greg Zuerlein, quote, if I did my job, we win that game.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the guys in there that played their ass off, and I didn't hold up my end of the deal. We're right there, parenthetical, as a team. I just have to do my job. Well, he kicked what could have been a game winner, you know, if you played some defense.
But I agree with him. If he does his job, they win. I think the Cowboys would have easily been able to hold on to the football long enough to get first downs and keep the ball from going back to Tom Brady. they were moving the football well enough, and there would have been design plays with getting Dak Prescott outside. It would have been a different play calling because it's protecting the football. And instead of having to lay back in the pocket and throw, Dak would have been able to get outside and make plays. It would have been a different thing. If Zuerlein kicks a field goal and kicks the extra point, yeah, I think the Cowboys win the game.
After the miss, they got the ball right back and scored, right? So in the end, did it matter?
The whole fourth quarter would have been different.
No, I'm just saying, in terms of that sequence, though, if he makes the field goal, then you start a different possession, and it doesn't necessarily end up with the interception going right back the other way.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Bucks beat the Cowboys 31-29, and you would think the sky is falling for the Cowboys if you went on social media, read what people are saying. It's amazing. It's Mike McCarthy's fault. It's Kellen Moore's fault. It's Jerry Jones's fault. It's everybody's, how do we lose? It's everybody's fault. It's Greg Zuerlein's fault. Okay, well, I'll give you, it could be Greg Zuerlein's fault. But for all of this minutia that people are getting caught up in with the Dallas Cowboys, oh, they should have done this, should have done this. Time out for a second. The Cowboys almost won on the road opening night against the defending champions, where their quarterback threw for 400 yards when he hadn't played a game in a year. And you probably would have won if your kicker had made a couple of easy kicks. The Cowboys are fine. What I saw from the Cowboys tonight, they're going to win the NFC East, and it shouldn't really be particularly close. They should beat the Giants in both games. They should beat the Eagles in both games. They should beat Washington in both games. They
have so much firepower offensively.
They have so much firepower offensively. This is going to be what it is. How are you going to cover these three guys every week? It's going to be really, really difficult. And maybe at some point, maybe Ezekiel Elliott has a game where he has more than 10 carries. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but maybe he does. Look, the Cowboys' offense is loaded. This is still a pretty good Tampa Bay defense, even though they did have some injuries. But this is what the Cowboys are capable of. They always had a high-powered offense. It was always high-octane. They got big-time playmakers. And mainly, the division stinks. It's not like they're playing in a good division where the other teams are good. They're playing in a craptastic division, which is just as important as all the other things I said, Mike Harmon. So, yeah, the Cowboys are fine after tonight. They're absolutely fine.
Well, I'm just going to go back through some of the other things, right? If you're going to keep bringing up Zuerlein, you got a couple of turnovers. You got a couple of drop passes. Godwin, right after Mike Evans had dropped one. Big possession, the one from Godwin, could have been a walk-in touchdown. You had a couple of plays where Dak threw some bad balls and should have been intercepted, but wasn't. They won the turnover battle. All the things that could go right, except for Greg Zuerlein, did. And even then, he kicked the field goal that put him ahead when the game was on the line.
Yeah,
but no,
I like your
excitement. I like that you're just categorically dismissing the Washington football team. Their defense is strong. They have some great component parts on offense. Just do you trust Heinicke and the greatness of the neckbeard to get you through? I don't know that I do, but I don't dismiss them categorically. So we'll see how that starts to flow. But it's a team you've got to be encouraged, especially for the fact that you got proof that your quarterback is ready to play, right? Because coming into tonight, that was the massive question mark to this whole thing. How's the ankle? Is he going to be able to roll out? Is he going to be able to be effective? Well, not only did he roll out, he also took off and ran without a second thought. And it was instinctual, right? It wasn't a holy good God, I'm in trouble, and hesitant and plodding. No, he moved with direction and purpose. It was good. And pinpoint precision on the edges, helped by some defensive injuries. But it all plays together to a big loss But Cowboy fans right now, you got to feel pretty good about the next 16 to come. Why? Because it's only one of 272, Smith. There's a lot of football to be played.
Are you sad there's only 271 left?
No, like I'll be sad after this weekend. Oh, okay. I mean, because that'll be, you know, 16 of them gone. And before you know it, we'll be into bye week, so we'll have, you know, a shortened slate.
Just cancel the season now. Let's just look forward to next year. It's over. I'm already depressed.
The Bears haven't even seen the Bears play yet. They don't play till Sunday night. I'll be there live and in living color if anybody wants to document the experience. I'm sure it'll be thrilling.
Stay off. I'm telling you now because I know you stay off social media. I don't think you should be on social media during that game.
I won't be. I'll be enjoying the sights and sounds and madness of QB1.
Twitter it. How about a Fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Best of podcast goes up in 10 minutes on iTunes. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you get it. Subscribe, rate us. We'll love you forever and ever and ever. Coming up next, my buddy Ben Maller. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio. Dak for MVP.